How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, November 25th, 2018. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
I'd be not like it, but I'd be a happy person.
I'm going to get our next guest to hit the switch on John's back to turn him back to English, Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Kelly.
So our first topic today is something that's been kind of we've had much discussion about it in the TMO Towers, and that is Apple whipping up this new music service that is meant to be for businesses.
There are two parts to this story. It turns out there's a part one where I wrote the article that I thought it was not a good use of Apple's time and resources. It seemed like it was a little bit money-grubbing. It seemed like it was a waste of time. It seemed like it was one of those initiatives that was put on a director at Apple to create new revenue, because I think there's probably a program at Apple for directors to figure out new ways to generate services revenue and make it happen. And they're probably on quota under some sort of pressure under the gun. And this seems like one of those projects where they say, well, you know, it's easy and it's incremental revenue. And we've already got the credit, the licenses. So let's just go for it. And that kind of approach, that kind of money-grubbing approach, that kind of small nickel and dime thing kind of set me off. And I thought, you know, Apple is a company that we're accustomed to tackling the grand challenges of life. And we're all having fits and starts with iOS 13 and macOS Catalina. And it just didn't sit right with me. So I wrote an editorial about it. When did I do that? I wrote it on November 21st. Mm-hmm. Part two is I got a lot of feedback from people. I won't mention any specific names, but very helpful feedback from people, names you would recognize, who pointed out that businesses pay a lot of money for the rights to pipe in music. And only big businesses can afford it. And small businesses who maybe have a CD player and, you know, pipe it into the speaker system of their small business are violating the law, because that's a public exhibition mm-hmm. of privately licensed music. And so Apple has provided a way for medium to small businesses to pay less money, less onerous. And one fellow told me about how he was familiar with IP representatives who drop in by the store, and they would quiz you about where the music's coming from and are you paying the right license fees and so on. So there is this underground system of, you know, enforcement, almost extortionary enforcement. And so small businesses can enlist Apple's aid in paying less money and getting away from these expensive, high-pressure services. And more than just a few people told me about that. That said, I wonder if this is really Apple's problem to solve, because I kind of was snark in the article. I pointed out that, you know, if you want incremental revenue, Apple could also launch a line of therapeutic massage and beauty products as well. And that would bring in incremental revenue and solve a problem. So the question
is, but that's not a service.
I know, but what I'm saying is that a service has to be not only profitable and it has to be not only helpful, but it has to match Apple's vision and mesh with Apple's stature as a company. And while it might be a good revenue opportunity and it might be helpful for small businesses and it might be up Apple's alley like music, does it meet that requirement of being a worthy challenge for Apple, or should they be spending their time doing other things? So that's where I am.
Be now, able to
Brian's turn.
Hold it in much longer.
You don't have to, Brian.
Okay. All right. So I actually, despite my snarky intro there, I have empathy for where John's coming from. I also have a slightly different way of looking at it. For one, I'm not sure that Apple is beholden to your vision, John, of things being worthy. I don't really think that's anything that is that. Does that come from your experience within Apple?
Yeah, it comes from my experience of
working. Was it your perception, or was it a stated?
Well, I mean, you know, Steve Jobs used to talk a lot about how Apple could do everything it wanted to, but there were things he said no to because it just didn't seem worthy of Apple's effort and time.
Fair enough. Okay, so I get that. However, I also get that Apple has effectively all of the money. And when
now, don't get all technical on us, Brian.
When you have all of the money, you do need to put it to work. And Apple still has a product line that is, you know what, probably 0.01% of General Electric's product line.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the number I'm just pulling out of thin air, but it's, I mean, if it's wrong, it's probably actually wrong by by a few zeros on the other side of that decimal, if anything. And or you know, GM's product line, or really just about every other company. Goodness, compare Apple's product line to the Samsung. Samsung sells hundreds, if not thousands, or tens of thousands of different products. Hell, they sell hundreds of smartphones. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably true.
Well, they're releasing a new one right now, so yeah.
I think companies get into trouble. Actually,
score well, but so maybe, and yes, there is always that potential for Apple. However, I think that the idea of Apple further diversifying its product line is probably okay. And more importantly, let's come back to what Phil Schiller said about Apple wanting to be at, you know, the nexus of where we live our lives.
Yeah.
And if you look at this particular development, business music, that is a place where we live our lives.
Mm-hmm. And if
you're thinking about it in those terms, I think, John, it actually meets your own definition of what Apple should be doing.
Yeah, I've softened my view since I wrote the article. I was a little bit reluctant to come on the show and talk about it because my mental approach to this has changed a little bit in the way you just described. I both understand where you're coming from, Brian, and I understand the logic, and it saddens me a little bit.
I get that.
That Apple is so big that it needs to get into everything that it thinks might possibly generate some money. And but extend itself in all these different kinds of ways.
But is it a money generator, John, or is it that?
Oh, yes, it has to make money.
But that's not what I mean.
But though, that's not the point of it.
Well, we don't know, Kelly. It actually could. John could be entirely right. But it is also possible that Apple is trying to solve a problem here.
Mm-hmm. Somebody pointed out to me that Pandora offers business music service, and I think that's part of the equation. When Apple realized that Pandora was doing this, and Apple knows that Pandora is a competitor to Apple Music, Apple probably figured we better step in and equal what Pandora is doing or risk losing out in some future business opportunity.
Here's how I looked at it. When I first read the story about this is a thing that Apple is doing, when I first looked at that, my first question, just like yours, was why would Apple do this? And what I came up with when I thought about it for a minute was this sort of struck me as a gimme for Apple. Like, they've done all the licensing. They have
the
rights. Now, what I don't know is if this took additional negotiation, because I don't know if they had all of the like public exhibition sort of stuff in order to be selling things in the iTunes store in the first place.
Licensing.
Right. That's what I figured. But since Apple is a known quantity to labels now and a known moneymaker for those labels now, and has been doing a certain amount of this stuff with Apple Music already, they have the streaming mechanisms in place and relationships with all the people who release the rights to this sort of music. So it sort of seemed like, you know, an afternoon's worth of phone calls. I know it's more than that. But, you know, a very small amount of work for them to get into a service that is a known quantity. Like, if people need music, they, you know, for a month, they need it for every month that they're open. And that seems pretty straightforward. And, you know, getting, you know, doing more with the music they already have sort of seemed like a gimme. It's the kind of thing that strikes me as similar to when the iPhone, the shape, the size and shape of the iPhone didn't change, because they did all the R&D on that particular case, right? So anything they can do to put a new thing in the same case, they don't have to redesign the case anymore. Well, so they get kind of a gimme on that work. So this just felt like tacking on to an existing thing, which I know, Apple has done.
This is what concerns me, Kelly, that Apple, under Steve Jobs and Tim Cook to a much greater, equal extent, has been focusing on building products that make our life better. Mm-hmm. High quality products that enable us to be our best and think different and do wonderful things and creative things. And as soon as Apple gets into services, it's a black hole. It's like every little nickel and dime to be made is out there waiting to be scarfed up by Apple in any possible way. And that's why I use the term elevator music, even though I know it was business mm-hmm. environment and, you know, business workplace music. I use the term elevator music because I kind of sense that when you're into services, you lose that edge. You lose that Apple vision of creating great things that are solutions to problems that we really need. But, and elevator music is not one of those worthy things that changes the world.
Okay. See, you don't think it's worthy.
Says you.
I mean, well, of course thing, it says me. This is John Martellaro speaking. It's my opinion.
But what I mean
is I'm allowed to have that opinion.
Yes, you are.
Absolutely and positively. Absolutely and positively. What I'm thinking, though, is that in the bigger picture, this that Apple may well be solving a problem for folks. It's just not a problem that affects you and me. Like you and I, we don't ever have to think about business music. As a matter of fact, we're probably just annoyed when we walk into a grocery store and it sounds like a disco. But for the grocery store operator, that's actually a problem. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, I have so much empathy with where you're coming from. I respect the logic with which you approached it, as always. But there's a part of me that says that Apple is probably trying to solve a problem here, first and foremost.
That's okay. It may well be that Apple gets off on this one and skates, and that they're solving a problem, and that they have to compete with Pandora, and that small businesses are thankful to Apple, and this is a natural evolution of Apple Music. Fine. But where does it go next?
Yeah.
What is the next treacherous step for Apple and its ever-ending quest for services revenue?
Okay, but
How far will Apple compromise?
See, here, John, here's what I'm wondering about, because I know a thing that Brian says is often, what do we call this, Brian? Is it Chaffin's razor? If something happens that doesn't quite make sense, it's entirely possible that you don't have all the relevant information. And what I wonder is if when these, you know, John, you were talking about enforcement right at the beginning of your presentation of this bit of information, and how people walk in and ask, where's the music coming from? And, you know, what is it you're playing? And is it a CD? And, you know, stuff like that. What if these people were like, I have Apple Music and I'm just playing Apple Music in my store? And so in order to be compliant, Apple sort of built this business version and went like, you can't use Apple Music in the store. You can use this Apple Music for business in your store. And then, you know, we don't get in trouble either, or some, you know, like, I could totally see that being a possibility. I don't know that this is necessarily Apple saying this is easy money for us to make. Right.
That's the part two of the discussion. That's the detail. That's the nuance of what it is.
And we don't know. And we will never know.
You can focus on Apple's motivation and where they go next and what perils might exist in the future, and the potential dangers of going too far and seeking services revenue, or you can focus on Apple Music for Business as a cool solution that solves a lot of problem for people and is natural for Apple to do. It's a multifaceted kind of thing.
But what I wonder is if something really, like that made it so that, like, if Apple, if this wasn't necessarily a business Apple anticipated getting into, and then it turned out like they kind of had to give people a legal option to do the thing that they were doing illegally. And that seems like a good, as good an explanation as any. And unless somebody comes out and says, like, I was using Apple Music in my business and I got cracked down on, like, we will never know if that's a thing that happened or not. I mean, it's very possible. We'll never know. So to me, it seems like there could be a number of logical ways that this turned into a thing that Apple did. And it's not necessarily about someone out there's making money and we should get in on that, which is sort of the approach that you're ascribing to them. And I'm not convinced that that part is true. Your conclusions
are sound. Apple closely to see what they do next in services.
Right. Absolutely.
If they start going off the deep end in services, then this will be the portent.
Right.
If they don't, then they exercise proper restraint, and this was just simply a good business opportunity. We shall see.
Yeah.
I share John's overall concern of Apple's emphasis on services. I share that concern.
Yes. Right. I don't want... Yeah, this is, if that happens, this is going to be the thing that people point to. This is going to be, you know, the iPod Hi-Fi of services, right? Or the iPod sock of services. Like, this is where it all started to go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well,
so
it's not either or, it's both.
Right. Why not both? Like that reaction gift that goes around. I thought it would, like, I think it's an interesting thing. And to me, it was an unusual choice for Apple to make. Why they made it, I don't know. You know, if you work at Apple and you want to come talk to us about it, we would be more than happy to have you. I always feel like I need to make that invitation, and I'm not kidding. If people want to come talk to us about it, we would love to have you on the program. If you are not at Apple and you just want to let us know what you think about this, if you are a small business owner in particular for whom this is now a very attractive option and you want to talk to us about that, you can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com if you'd like to do that via email. You can talk to us on Twitter at TMO Daily, and you can also leave comments in the show notes. Now, the other thing we want to talk about is a tiny bit of housekeeping. This week, we have a short week, at least for the show. There will only be daily observations for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We will be out Thursday and Friday for Thanksgiving. And a lot of people don't necessarily think about this weekend as Thanksgiving weekend. A lot of people think about it as Black Friday weekend, because the day after Thanksgiving is the time when lots of stuff starts jumping off. But we've got some stuff about that kind of in advance, right, Brian?
Yeah. Well, you know, although that said, day after Christmas / day after 4th of July / day after Labor Day / day after Memorial Day.
Yeah.
I mean, when does Black Friday really start these days? Now, that said,
well, if you're Amazon, it's sometime in July, I believe, is what we determined. But yeah.
Yeah, that does seem roughly correct. So Andrew put something up, and now I had it, and now I'm trying to find it again.
he posted a story about Black Friday
from
deals.
Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be $200, $200 gift card with purchase of a new Mac, iPhones and iPads, he said, could include a $100 gift card. An Apple TV could be a $50 gift card. Now, last year, Apple, I have this somewhere too. Apple did $50 on an iPhone and $100 on an iPad. Up to $100 on an iPad, mm-hmm. and up to $200 on a Mac. So it is at the very least going to be similar. I would actually, I personally expect it to come into something very, very similar as to what they did last year.
Yeah. I think it would, that stands to reason. We know what they did last year. It seems like it would make sense for it to be the same sort of thing again this year.
Yeah, I called it mostly ho-hum last year. I may have been like in a turkey coma. That's I could have been in a really pissy mood. I can't remember for sure. But it was $50 on an Apple Watch, $200 select Max, iPad was like $100, iPhone was $50. Beats was a $50 Apple gift card too. So yeah, I would expect it to be very, very similar to that. I mean, Apple is already expecting a pretty good quarter, so I don't think that they need to offer bigger discounts or anything like that to, you know, to be able to meet or beat expectations. So there you have it. We're also going to be doing something we haven't done before at TMO. Our friends at Stack Commerce, who operate our deal store, have given us deals for the all 4 days of the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we will be posting deals each day for this week.
And that's different sets of deals, I believe, correct? Like,
yeah.
There's stuff that will come and go.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're going to have some collections of stuff. But yes, there will be different deals every day from TMO. Mm-hmm. So make sure you check those out. A couple of them actually seem pretty good. We're going to have looking at it. Where did it go? We're going to have some headphones. We're going to have chargers, portable batteries, security camera, a couple of services. There's a ton of training bundles that are coming on Saturday. Nice. Sunday will be the early Cyber Monday sale.
Wow.
That's anyway, we've got several interesting products for that, and so anyway, we've got tons of stuff.
And I would like to point out, as a quick tip for a lot of people, as we enter the thick of gift giving season, 1 year I got a very good deal on some super durable lightning cables. And so I bought like a 10 pack of them, and I tied them around gifts and gave them to people. So
how clever is that?
Here you go. Whatever I give you, like, yeah, here's this thing, and you get a lightning cable, you know, as part of that. That seemed like a pretty good, it seemed like a pretty nifty way to give someone a gift. And especially when you can get a good deal on them, like you can sometimes get on stuff from over there at Stack. I have really, and plus, like, look how durable it is. I tied it around your present. And so, like, you know, this will help, you know, and it's a very nice thing to give an easy upgrade to somebody, you know, especially because we all know somebody who's got that phone charger cable, even if it's micro USB or USB-C or whatever, maybe it's a lightning cable. We all know somebody who's got that one that they're just clinging to, like it's going out of style, and like it's kind of frayed around the edges, or it's just, you know, it's super gross, it's starting to deteriorate. Like, upgrade that person. It's a very easy thing to do, particularly when we get deals on stuff like Stack. And as you watch other deals come out, there will be other deals on stuff. And 1 year I just bought a fistful of cables and went, have a better cable, put it in your car, whatever, I don't care, but here's one good one that you can just use. So anyway, that's my pro gift giving tip. And one more shout out if you need some gift ideas is you can go to the Mac Voices gift guide, where you can now see two TDO regulars. I did the first one with Chuck this year, and Andrew also did another one with Chuck this year. So you can go see all the things that we picked. And those are always fun to watch, because you can also see what other people choose as well, which is fun because Chuck doesn't allow repeats. So the later we get, you know, the closer we get to Christmas, as he does these gift guides, the more creative people have to be, which is kind of fun. I like to get in first to make sure that the stuff I really like is the stuff that I get to make sure makes the cut. So that's actually going to do it for us today. I want to thank both of you for being here. John, thank you so much for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you with me. And as always, Brian, thank you for being here.
Yep. Thanks for having us. Good times.
And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.